Well, I feel like the Lord gave me a message for you this morning. I feel like He specifically told me to tell you to go forward. I don't know what this is, who this is for, except all of us. I just think about the scriptures. We are so familiar with so many of them. All of us almost are. And I want to start in Exodus 14 and 15. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." You know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to go forward. He doesn't want us lingering. He doesn't want us cowering in fear. He does not want us to turn our backs. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to go forward and do His will. He wants us to go forward and take His word in a dark world. He wants us to be ambassadors for Christ. He wants our lives to be full of His hope and His peace. And the Lord wants us to go forward with that. In spite of all that is around us, the Lord wants you and me to go forward this morning in the things of God. He wants us to go forward in our experience with Him. And so I want to look at the context of where these people were and why they were in this desperate situation that they were in. This was the children of Israel. This was the ones that God was leading. This was the ones that God sent Moses, and He said, "I want you to lead my people out of Egypt and take them to a good land." And the Lord had that for these people. And so here they were, and why were they cowering in such fear? I think you and I would be cowering in fear too if we were in their situation. And yet, God said, "Go forward." So let's look at their circumstances that they were in here. Starting in the first verse of 14, maybe we'll read some of this and perhaps quote some of this. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahereth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. You know, God gave Moses specific instructions about where He wanted him to be at this time. And I know we know, most of us know this, but God told Moses, He said, "I want you to take the children of Israel and turn and encamp here before this place, Pahereth, between Migdol and the sea." Do you know that what they did was they got themselves into a very tight situation and there was no way out? They had the sea before them, and behind them was the Egyptians, was Pharaoh with his chariots and all of these things. And God led them to this place, and they were exceedingly tight. Now, I think it was Clark that said on down, he believes that there was a fort there that the Egyptians had made. And so they were closed in on every side, and there was no way for them to escape. And why would God lead them into a place like this? They couldn't figure out. And so they began to murmur and they began to complain. Why? Why did you, Moses, didn't we tell you back there to leave us there in Egypt and we'll enjoy the leeks or whatever it was and all those things? We'll enjoy those things. But you know what? God said to Moses to take them here. Do you know that the important thing in your life and in mine is that we be led of the Spirit of God. Because God wanted to work a work for these people that not only they would forever remember, but we are remembering today. It was a marvel what God did. And we fully believe it, do we not? God did this, didn't He? We find that, we'll read a little more here, or maybe a bunch more. And so God told them to come here, and He said, Pharaoh is going to say, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And so they were in this place because God led them there. Do you know this morning, God wants to lead us into places in our life that are not always the most comfortable places for us to be in. But God wanted to show forth His power here. He wanted to prove Himself not only to the Egyptians that I am God, but He wanted to show Himself to His people. I am God. I will be honored in this circumstance. And so it was told the king of Egypt, verse 5, that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Do you know that sometimes the world, sometimes the enemy, sometimes sin, it continually wants to keep us from escaping. If somebody begins to see a journey that they need to go on with the Lord, and they begin to have Jesus troubles, if you will, and they begin to follow that, don't think the devil isn't going to be there to try to keep them. But do you know that God was working with them, wasn't He? And He was wanting to deliver these people, completely deliver them from the hand of their oppressors. This morning. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. Okay, and verse 6 says, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots. Now here was a people that didn't even have weapons. And here comes Pharaoh with 600 chariots. And don't think they weren't out in front, probably. They were there to intimidate, to kill, to destroy, to bring back that. And so don't think the devil doesn't still use the same tactics today. And the Lord, let's see, and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. This was a wicked man. He was wicked before this. Before this time, you know, the Lord doesn't have to have mercy on us if we have a wicked heart. And here was a man with a wicked heart. He oppressed the children of Israel. He mightily oppressed them, the scriptures tell us. And so the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pahirath, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Then the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Do you know this morning that if we are in the will of God, that He will fight for us, and we can hold our peace? And the Lord wants us to know this morning. He wants us to know, are you in a hard place? Maybe so. Are you in a life-threatening situation, a terrible situation, a place that is impossible like these people were, the Red Sea before them? How are you going to take a couple of million people across the Red Sea? It isn't going to happen. Not with Pharaoh moving in on you. With all, and what are you going to do? How are you going to fight against him? You have no weapons. This was an impossible situation for these people. But they cried unto the Lord. They did some murmuring too. And for whatever reason, we don't have record of God chiding them at this point for that. Even though, you know, after all they had seen that God did, could we not think that God that did all these other things could still work today? Is it not possible in our hearts and minds to know that God can work for us? Is it not possible for Him to do the impossible? Can our minds and our hearts take that in? That's what God wanted to prove to these people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" Now Moses had faith in God, didn't he? He said, "You're going to see the Lord's going to fight for you, and you're going to hold your peace." I wonder if Moses knew anything about what God was going to do at that point. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh." What Pharaoh's fixing to do in all his wickedness is going to bring me honor, the Lord says. Do you know that just because the enemy is on your trail, and just because he wants to do away with you, and just because he has plenty of power to do that, except for God, doesn't mean one thing, does it? Doesn't mean one thing. It doesn't mean anything that he has all of that power if we have the Lord with us this morning. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts. Okay. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Verse 18, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." Do you know how much comfort I've taken in the fact that I believe the angels are looking out after us this morning? Do you know that we are not alone and these people were not alone? It doesn't even say there was 10,000 angels did this. It says the angel. The angel of the Lord that went before them moved around behind them and stood between them and the Egyptians. And it came to pass, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I want to ask you something. Who would have imagined this could happen? If you were there, would you have thought, well, maybe he'll open a way in the sea? Now, maybe we've known this, so maybe we might think, but they had never seen anything like that. And so, who would have thought? Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. The God that we serve is the God that they served. And the God that goes before us, and the angels of God that surround his people, and the angels of God that go with us, is the same as what we saw here. Can we take courage in that and believe that this morning? Can we believe that the impossible can be possible because of God, because of his angels, because of his word that he has given us? He's given us promises that we can build our lives upon, and we are required to build our lives upon. And do you know that in these things, God will work for us? The important thing for me and you is to be led by the Spirit of God and to be led by the Lord. These people were led into this place. The Lord took them here. And so, and the Egyptians and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as... what percentage was left? Not so much as one of them. God is able to give us decisive, clear victories. God is able to do that. Now, we are not able in ourselves. They had no power. They were in an impossible situation. But I want to tell you, God is able. And when they trusted in the Lord and they had Him for their God, do you know that He fought for them? It says He even took their chariot wheels off. And He got down in and took the chariot wheels off. He began to trouble them. Do you know that God has that kind of authority in our lives this morning? That when we are the Lord's, and when we are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture, do you know that He'll take the chariot wheels off of the enemy that wants to destroy you and me? It is not possible. It is not possible for the enemy to destroy you and me, because the angels of the Lord encampeth about those that fear Him this morning. And the waters, 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and His servant Moses. Do you know this morning, when we follow God, wherever He tells us to go, however desperate the situation may seem, do you know that when we do that, it brings... these people, it said, they feared the Lord and they believed the Lord. This morning, our work is to be in the center of God's will. Our way is to follow Him and be led by Him. And if we will do that, though it seems impossible, though it seems that we will be destroyed, I will tell you, our bodies, we're told, they're going to perish. They're going to die. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer pain sometimes. The Scriptures tell us these things. But our soul, folks, that lives forever, will be kept unscathed until the time of the Lord's return. The Lord is able and willing to do that for us this morning. Oh, may the Lord help us to go forward. Do you know where they went forward to? I know they went and they spent their life in the wilderness because they stopped going forward. They stopped obeying God's will. But do you know what God's will was for them? To take them right in to the land that He promised them. It was God's will for them to go in and begin to take that land and enjoy that land right away. You know, this morning, God wants some good things for you and me. But we've got to go forward. If we see the fear of the future and we draw back, the scripture says, my soul shall have no pleasure in the one that draws back. That's not a perfect quote. But that's what the Lord has said. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to go forward blindly. He wants us to go forward in total trust and faith. What was their trouble after this? The Lord tried to lead them right on over, and they said, there's no way. There's no way we can face the giants. There's no way we can face the walled cities. We're no match for those people. We don't have the weaponry. I don't know what all they said, but I'm supposing they said that too. And there's no way. Do you know when we draw back, we fail to see what God will do in our lives? These people's children got to see the land of Canaan. They got to see the promises of God fulfilled in their lives because they believed. They went on in. They saw the error of these people, these wicked people that would not believe God, and looked at the circumstances and said, there's no way. It's impossible. Maybe it is impossible. But with God, Jesus told us, with God all things are possible, did he not? And we believe that this morning. I want to look over here in Luke 4 and read another passage that we're so very familiar with. Luke 4 and 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Do you know that Jesus was in the perfect will of God here? Now, we might would think in the flesh, if he's under that kind of temptation, he must be in the wrong place. But do you know that God led him here? And do you know that as soon as this was over, and Jesus had faithfully faced these things and endured these things and been true, do you know that God anointed him with his power and with his anointing to go forth and do the work of God? There is a special anointing that God wants to give our lives. Do you know he wanted to do that for the Israelites? He delivered them through the Red Sea, a marvelous accomplishment. And then he wanted to take them on and do marvelous things in their lives, but they would not. But you see Jesus here falling into temptation. You know, the devil came, and what did he offer him first? Bread. Why would he offer him bread? He offered him, he said, command this stone. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he could command that stone, and he was tempting Jesus. Do you know that he was offering that very weakest place in his life? He was hungry. He had not eaten for 40 days. And he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to him, offering him the thing that he was most in a vacuum for. Do you know that you and me, sometimes the Lord allows us to be in a place that we feel a great need. We feel a great need. And we need that need fulfilled. Jesus needed bread. He felt a great need. And the devil offered him his things, didn't he? Here, I'll give you, just speak the word here. You can do this. The devil offered this, didn't he? But do you know, Jesus, of course, told him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, I'm trusting my Father in this. He led me into this. Do you know that if we will follow God, He may lead us into places that are very difficult. He may lead us into places where we may be very tempted at times. But He has some thoughts about these things. He has some things that He wants to prove to us. And He can only do it in the most extreme circumstances there are. And God wants to do that. And He's looking for some people that will allow Him to do that in their lives. I want to look on down to the 13th verse, and it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Don't you know that was a relief to the Lord? "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Do you know that at this time there was an anointing and a power that came upon his life? He was already full of the Holy Ghost. He was God in the flesh. But do you know there was an anointing that came upon his life? Do you know that he became able to minister to people in a way that would be impossible otherwise, except God just give that to him. Do you know he knew how people felt? He knows how you feel when you're at your extremity, when you're at your weakest point. I've never fasted 40 days. I don't know what it's like to be that weak. But I will tell you, he does. He was there. And do you know that he knows where he's leading you and me? And he knows when we are in a battle and in trials. Do you know that many times he is developing us? And he can only do that. Many times it is only in those places that the real anointing of God's presence can come upon our life. I'm convinced many times it is through the sacrifices that we make in the flesh and following after God at all cost. That is where God can begin to anoint and work in our lives in a way that he couldn't before. Do you know that I believe after he took those people through that Red Sea, they were at a point they could have believed and went on. They could have done the work of God. They could have went in and overcome those cities and taken those giants down. They had what it took, but they succumbed to their own mind, their own heart of disbelief in God. The Lord is looking, folks, for a few people that there is no lines, there is no boundaries. If God leads me here, that's where I will stand by the grace of God. And if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. And I believe we see that when people have been taken to those places. How many times has God worked? We have the account of Esther. That's where we get that little term, if I perish, I perish. Because she knew she was up against it. She knew that if the king didn't hold a scepter out, they all died. And she was one of them. So this morning, we've got to cast ourselves upon the Lord today and follow him wherever he leads us. That's the important thing. Follow God. Seek him. Search for him. Don't just follow our mind and decide, I think this. The Lord wants us to seek him. He wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. And I believe that's possible. In Romans 8 and 14... I just want to read that scripture. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Do you know that these are the folks that he's going to take through? These are his sons. These are the ones that dwell with God. These are the ones that hear his voice. And he said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God." What are we led by this morning? Are we led by our lust? Are we led by all the things the world has to offer and all the things that they constantly flash out there for us? Are we led by the latest electronic marvels? And that's our life. That's our thoughts. That's what we invest our time in. Our mind is invested there. Or are we led? Are we led by the Spirit of God? Are we led by, Lord, would you teach me this day? What is your will for me today? Would you explain these scriptures to me today and feed my soul so that I can go and do your will today? We have a very different mind than the mind of the world this morning. And we have to have that on purpose as we go through. We want that anointing upon our life. I believe that's for us this morning. You know, these situations where the Israelites were, where Jesus was, he was in great temptation, wasn't he? I believe he felt it keenly, so keenly that he could relate to all of us, his word tells us. He's able to relate to all of us in our situations and our temptations. And you know what he told us in his word? 1 Corinthians 10 and 14, or 10 and 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Did you know that when we're in temptation and when we fall into hard places, did you know that God is there and he is making a way for you and me so that we can bear it? Did you know he's doing that? It doesn't matter what kind of thing we're in, so long as we didn't get in it by our own lust and our own things and our own desires. But when we follow the Lord, he has promised to make a way through, a way of escape. No matter how hard the temptation, no matter how bad the problem, he said he would make a way to escape. I want to read a little bit of what Clark said on that. He said, "God will not suffer you to be tried above the strength that he gives you. But as the trial comes, he will provide you a sufficient strength to resist it. As the trial comes in, he will make your way out." That's what he did for the Israelites, was it not? That's what he did for Jesus, was it not? He was right there. Jesus bore those things. But do you know that the power of God accompanied him? From that point on, his ministry began in a way that it had not been before. The words are very remarkable. He will, with the temptation, make the deliverance or way out. Satan is never permitted to block up our way without the providence of God making a way through the wall. God ever makes a breach in his otherwise impregnable fortification. Should an upright soul get into difficulties and straits, he may rest assured that there is a way out. As there was a way in, and that the trial shall never be above the strength that God has given him to bear it. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us. Go forward, saints. Go forward. The work of the Lord lies before us. The work of our life lies before us. God has work for you and me to do. He has blessings that he wants to give us that astounds the world. I believe that. He wants to touch our lives in ways that the others around us, the world, our children, can only say it was God. The Lord wants to do that this morning. But I will tell you, it doesn't come by following our own nose, by following our own desires, our own thoughts. It comes by being led by the Spirit of God, by going forward when the Lord says go forward in spite of everything. And I believe the Lord wants us to do that. We don't have to make a league with the devil. We can stand our own ground, and the Lord will fight for us. I want to read another passage here in Psalm 23. Probably just quote some of this, but Psalms 23 and verse 3, it says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Do you know that The psalm here, we've all read this. Even the little children have read this. But you know, he says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul." You know, sometimes that's green pastures. We look at these scriptures here and it says, "He leads me, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." We love that, don't we? And then it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Do you know that he's going to lead us not only in the green pastures, not only beside the still waters, but he's going to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to lead us through difficult places that we would die otherwise. He's going to lead us in dark and deep places sometimes. The Lord is going to lead us through those places. And he's going to make a way for us. And when we come out, there's going to be more anointing upon our hearts and lives of the Spirit of the Lord. There's going to be more compassion from us for other people that struggle. There's going to be, the Lord is wanting to develop compassion in us. He doesn't want us to have our nose high in the air and be looking around at somebody that's not doing too well. Folks, he wants us to be down there groveling in prayer for them. That's what he wants. And he wants to anoint our souls until we feel that for them. Until we see people through his eyes of compassion and love. We don't look at somebody that's having faults and failures with down. You know, the Lord wants us to be in prayer for them. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Do you know what that means? That means the enemies are going to be there. That means sometimes the enemies are going to be right there, right where we are. And they're going to be encroaching upon us. And they're going to be bearing down upon us. But do you know what David said here? He said, "You prepare a table before me, right in the presence of my enemies." So are the enemies going to be there? Yes. Are the troubles sometimes going to be there? Yes. Are they always going to be there? No. We're going to enjoy the green pastures. We're going to enjoy the still waters. And we're going to soak that up. And when the enemies come in like a flood, what's going to happen? The Spirit of the Lord's going to lift up a standard against him. How many times have we that live for the Lord seen that happen? How many times have we seen the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against the devil? You can't go any further. This is mine. You don't have anything in them. They're not taking care of you. They're not fostering you in their heart. They're not hiding sin in their life. You cannot touch them. And so he lifts up a standard against them. And it says, "Then thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So this morning, I feel like the Lord gave me this message. Folks, the Lord wants us to go forward. He wants your life and mine to go forward. It's time for us to not let the devil tantalize us. Not let him set us in fear. But to look to God and to believe and to recognize that there are angels that will stand between us and him. And to him it'll be darkness and to us it will be light. Do you know the Lord wants us to do that? Sometimes we have to set down our feet and set down ourself and say, "Look, I know God's with me and he's going to take me through this thing. And God's going to fight my battles and take some scripture for our benefit." Do you know what that does? All of a sudden, the trouble may completely cease. What happened? Satan was rebuked. And do you know what we have? We have another Ebenezer stone. We have another victory. We have something else that guards us yet more against the devil and his tactics. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 27:13-14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's don't forget the saying of Jesus. He said to one man, the rich young fellow had come, and he told him to leave all, and he just walked away from that. And Jesus told him, how hardly shall they that are rich enter into the kingdom of heaven? And his disciples were just so flabbergasted. They said, when they heard it, they said, who then can be saved? And you know what Jesus said? He said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I want to tell us this morning good news. There isn't anything impossible for you with God. With God, he said, all things are possible. Let's go forward, folks. Let's go forward to the Lord. Let's let him have our lives. Let's believe. You know, as many as believed, they became the sons of God. You know, that's who the elect are, folks, those that believe. Those that believe and take up their cross and follow him, that's God's elect. And how the Lord wants to do that for you and me today. The Lord bless each one of us. Strengthen our hearts. Cause us to have in us a will that I will serve the Lord. Not only that I will serve the Lord, but that I will do all that he commands me. That I want to be found in the center of his will. That I don't hold back in unbelief. Not thinking it's worthwhile, but believing. God said it. I'm taking his way completely. I believe if we'll do that this morning, the Lord himself will anoint our lives with a blessing that cannot come any other way. That's the way it comes. It comes through some of that, those hard trials, those hard places where the Lord comes along and it looks impossible to us. And he says, tell him to go forward. Tell him to go forward. Where? I'm going to make a way. He's going to make a way, folks. Amen.